Taiwan Special, episode one for the week. If you're watching on the YouTube thing, that glorious picture behind me is from Jade, or I'm used to the Chinglish translation, Jade Mountain. It's Mount Jade, the West Peak. The West Peak of Mount Jade. Very glorious. This peak would... Mount Jade is higher than Mount Fuji. Not much. But it is high up. Because it's tropical, you don't have to put on a snowsuit to get there. But it is cold. And you got to have wind gear and gloves. You've got to. But this is West Peak. Not quite as high. You don't need gloves. And it's pretty high up. It's a summit. And it's just glorious. It's right there in the woods. It's really beautiful. And there's this kid that I went there with. He's 11 years old. And it's good that we went, because he wasn't able to make it. Kids, small bodies, they can't make it to the actual Mount Jade summit. So the dads and his younger brother were tired and exhausted. The younger brother was strong-willed but angry that his body wouldn't move at high altitude. So he was, you know, dealing with that. You know, he was going the distance, going for speed. So while the dads and the younger brother were crashed at the lodge at 3 in the afternoon from so much altitude ascension so quick, this 11-year-old and I went on a 2-hour round trip journey up to West Peak, which is behind me. And he couldn't make the summit in the morning, so this was his summit, turned out. There was a point where he was too tired and we had to move because of time, because dinner was going to close if we didn't get back in time. They go to sleep at 7 and you're so tired, there's no problem going to sleep at 7. Even if you slept all day the day before, there's no problem going to sleep at 7. So we had to hurry up and get back for food. He was tired, and I picked him up and carried high altitude. I'm exhausted. You know, where you walk like for 10 seconds and you're tired. We were up there and he couldn't make it. And so I picked him up and carried him 10 meters uphill. And that was a big deal. And I took a 1-minute rest and it was enough for him. And we finished the journey. I don't know. If you haven't climbed mountains and you don't know what I'm talking about, but picking up someone half your weight and carrying them 10 meters at high altitude could exhaust you for the rest of the day. All right. Okay. But that's this picture behind me. It's a wonderful memory. I'm so glad we went. It's really beautiful. If you ever go to Mount Jade, make sure that you get out to West Peak and see this glorious, lovable little place. Amazing view. All right. I've ranted on enough about how much I love this. I'm dealing with a mess in Taiwan. And if you followed my other rantings and crying and whining and, you know, complaining, I'll spare you the gory details. My Taiwanese friends, this in the past 3 days, have started to look at me with a new level of respect. On Thursday, as you may know, I went to Taipei to talk to Taiwan's government. And I've got this little, the recent vlogs as of today, May 13. I went on this long rant at the bus station on the bus. Of videos. It's like, I don't know, it's like half an hour of me whining and complaining about everything. And it's very useful information. I'm trying to be useful. But when you find a problem, what do? I mean, you just whine and complain? I mean, if you report a problem, it seems like complaining. You know, so I just don't want to talk about it because I feel like I'm just complaining all the time. But then again, this is a real problem that has to get dealt with. It's like, you know, in Baghdad, in Iraq, when Bush Jr., 2003, was it? They were marching on Baghdad in Iraq. Saddam Hussein didn't know the American army was coming because no one told him. Like, we got to know about problems. It's, you know, just You know, don't tell us the army is going to come and kill us all. That's complaining. We need to be positive. I don't want to be that guy. So it's like, you know, what do you do? So I'm, thing is, this is something I've been finding. I've discovered yesterday in the podcast special, or the podcast weekly, I talked about myself and the self-discovery. Who am I? The ongoing question. Careful. If you ever figure it out, God will tell you that's the purpose of your life, is to figure out who you are, and then you're over. So maybe we should avoid that question. Or maybe not. Maybe we need to discover it and complete. Maybe it's purpose that God keeps us on the earth for. And discovering your purpose. I could go off on purpose. I have this theory that, never mind. I'm going to get into, ask me sometime, talk about purpose. I think that our human purpose wasn't dictated to us by God. I think on some level, we had some choice. We might have just defined our entire purposes out of nothing for ourselves before creation, and then we're given amnesty and born into these bodies. That's possible. Even in the Bible, in a fully Bible-only worldview, that's possible. So when I say discover our purpose, I don't mean that God imposed it on us. So I'm sitting here, and that's the thing, is discovering your purpose is basically discovering the messages you wrote for yourself yesterday before you got amnesia. It's like talking to yourself of the forgotten past, it's like talking to your forgotten self of the past. Really is truly self-discovery. No one would have a purpose. I mean, if God is the God who allows evil and dies on the cross to allow evil to exist without permanently hurting anyone who's unwilling, then that good God would never force us to have a purpose we didn't want either. If that God is willing to die on a cross to preserve our free will, I would think that it would only be consistent if we also had some kind of a say in what our purpose is, even if we don't remember it in this lifetime. After all, our names were written in a book before God made the earth. Whatever those names were written for may have had something to do with whatever. So I don't want to get too much into that. But when I say discover purpose, I don't want to get into this God forced it on us and I'm stuck with it type of deal. I have a very different view of that. So I'm trying to discover this good and wonderful purpose. And I look for the meaning, because I know that no matter what happens in life, there's meaning and beauty. I mean, look behind me. Even on the way to the highest peak in East Asia, this lesser high peak, it wasn't as grand, but maybe it was more beautiful. And there was a lot of unexpected good that came from it. So I'm running through life trying to discover things and trying to find where the beauty is. Now, I've been in Taiwan and dealing with this bureaucracy, and I've been processing it. And one of the things I've figured out, what really has me bothered, I've discovered this, what really, really has me all bothered about how Taiwan's government is mean to people isn't about how they treat me. It's about how they treat the Taiwanese. That's what's been bothering me the whole time. I just never thought to say that. Because we're all trying to think about what it is that we're really thinking about anyway. I would tell my story, but not because I was bothered by my story. My story is evidence of what, certain people over here are doing to everybody. I'm one raindrop in the storm. I'm one plaintiff in the class action suit. And my goal isn't to get stuff fixed for myself as much as it is to stop the massive injustice that continues for everybody. This is bad. They do this to everybody. I can bear witness to my little story. And that's what I've been trying to say. And that's what I talk about. And even when I clarify that, even when I tell people this isn't about me, I'm not even so concerned for my own justice. My own justice is an indication of their ability to give justice to everybody. If they can't give it to me, then they're not giving it to everybody, because I'm a somebody. But when I talk about that, I want this for everybody. And people answer, you know, Jesse, your life might be better if... I'm like, wait a minute. Did you just hear me? I don't want my life to be better. But you're complaining. I said, is it about everybody else? It's like they don't hear me. And people assume that this happens sometimes. It's happening kind of less and less because I talk back. See, this isn't about me. One guy said on YouTube, you know, Jesse, maybe, and I've been an expat 20 years, and maybe it's more merciful if you take a different path in life. And I'm like, more merciful for who? See, if I run away from these problems in Taiwan, if I saw resistance and just went somewhere else, I would have never understood what the Taiwanese really go through. I saw this injustice and I chose to get more of it on purpose. I said, no, nobody tells me I can't live and thrive somewhere. And if you're going to try to tell me that, not you, but if someone's going to try to tell me not to live and thrive here, I'm going to try to live and thrive there anyway and prove how mean the bully is. Because we've got to find the bad guys to bring fairness for everybody. So I found it. I got what I wanted. And I think I've gotten something far more valuable to me than anything Taiwan's dumberment could have given me. I have respect from the Taiwanese people because I really, truly understand them. I've gone to my Taiwanese friends. I said, I went to Taipei and I saw it. I tell my friends in Taiwan, when you tell me the dumberment, and they hate their government. As Americans, they get frustrated with the government. The American frustration and hatred of government is nothing compared to the how much the Taiwanese loathe and despise their government because of stuff like this. Yet, they're some of the most happy, forgiving people you've ever met. I remember I was talking with a professor in Chicago at O'Hare. He's a professor at Roosevelt. And he had two Taiwanese master's degree students. And I said, they're just friendly and happy. And they pretend to laugh at your jokes that they don't understand because they love you. And he goes, yup, yup, yup. So they're just these really happy, hospitable people. Yet they've got this, some of the best people in the world have the most terrible government. And I tell my friends, this is what they did. They go, yup, that's right. That's what our dumberment does. The bunfu, the Chinese word for government is zunfu. And the Chinese word for stupid is bundan. Or bun. It's stupid. So I don't call it zunfu. I call it bunfu. And all the Taiwanese grin and wink and they go, yup, it's the dumberment. It's really, really frustrating for them. And when I tell them my story, I say, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just telling you that I know. And their eyes get wide and they go, wow, Jesse, you really have understood. And it took me 2 years. It took me 10 years to get there. 10 years. I was dealing with injustice and frustration as a foreigner, but I finally saw it how they see it. And that was really what hit me. That was really what hit me is it bothers me. But not about what anyone did to me, but because I have seen what they're doing to everyone else and I am mad about what they've been doing to everybody else and I am going to clean it up. See you tomorrow.